Thanks so much for joining us today. Our hope and prayer is that God will use this message powerfully in your life and that it'll bring you closer to Him. If you'd like more information about our church, or if you'd like to hear more messages, you can visit vibechurch.com or download our app. Now get ready to receive a word from the Lord.
Doesn't that make you kind of want to dance a little bit, huh? I'll spare you. I won't show you my dance moves. Pretty lame. But hey, so good to see everyone this morning. And just another plug for group church this Wednesday night. If you haven't signed up, you can go in the lobby. There's a place to sign up. You can also go online, sign up for a group. It's a great way to connect. And I'm on a crusade for helping people connect. And if you're one of those folks that's like, I'm not sure how to do it, this is a great, easy way to do it. So sign up and join us for Wednesday night for group church. 6 o'clock is when we have dinner. We're having pulled pork, smoked pulled pork. I just got it yesterday from a buddy of mine. I got 5 smoking butts. Well, the smoked butts. They're in the freezer now, so that's smoke. They're not smoking much right now. But they'll be ready for Wednesday night. So join us. Join us. It's going to be a great time, great food. We're in the middle of a series that I'm really pumped about. And it's the things that we need to focus on the most. And we're in this brand new year. It's kind of symbolic of this 2020 year, 2020 vision. Just being able to focus in on the things that matter most, because it's so easy for us to just live our life and we just bounce from thing to thing. Right? Has that ever happened to you? Robin and I were talking about it on the way here this morning, of just how easy it is. We have these good intentions. And we want to get together with people. And we want to do things. And I said, well, okay, let's set some goals. Let's set some things that we want to do. And you got to do that. If not, you just go through life and you just have a bunch of good intentions, right? And at the end of your life, you'll say, well, I had a whole lot of good intentions, but I didn't really accomplish many of them. You got to set some goals. You got to focus in on what is it that matters most. And we've been focusing as a church on what matters most. And the first thing we talked about was relationships. You can follow along with the series if you look over to your right on the wall. But the first thing we focused on was the need for relationships. How I grow spiritually through others, and others grow spiritually through me. It's God's plan to grow others through us. It's God's plan to grow us through others. We have a huge role to play in the development spiritually of one another. This is why it's so important for us to connect. Then we talked about, last week, we talked about focusing on what we believe. Listen, I'm not tooting my horn as a pastor. I'm just telling you, if you didn't hear that message, you need to go ahead and listen to it. Go download it on the podcast. Watch it on YouTube. Some super, super important things that were said. It's not what I said. It's really, it's God's word. And just the importance of it, because I believe it can set you free. We have fallen into a bad habit of believing the enemy's lies. And we've got to focus on what we believe. We've got to focus on the truth. And when we embrace the truth, it transforms us. And this morning, we're going to focus in on some truth. And we're going to have an opportunity to either reject the truth, twist the truth, or embrace the truth. And I hope that you will embrace the truth and what God wants to do in your life, you know? So we're focusing on what matters most. You know, we all have an eye for things, right? We all have the ability to see certain things. Sometimes, for me as a pastor and the way I'm wired, I have this ability to see people, and I can see some potential. I can see what God wants to do, and I'm able to pull it out of people if they'll let me, if they get close enough. But that's just something that God's gifted me. You may have an eye for photography, and you just say, oh, man, that's like a perfect picture. My wife has an eye for Dollar Tree and Dollar General and dollar stores. I mean, we could be driving by, and she's, did you see that? Nope. And we're stopping. I guess they don't all have the same stuff, but we got to stop because it says dollar in the name. But, you know, maybe you have an eye for dollar stores. Maybe you have an eye for details. We were talking this morning. Wendy has this eye and this ability to see things and say, like, we need to improve this. And that's great, right? That we need that. If you ever work with people, maybe you're one of those people, you're the big picture person, and then somebody else that works with you, they're the detail person, and they're always saying, yeah, but we need to do this, we need to do this. We need each other, right? We all have an eye for things. Maybe you have an eye for beauty or talent or artwork or design, or like Robin, a good deal. But how we see thing how we see things determines its value and its worth. And I they say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but I think also the value and the worth of things are also in the eye of the beholder. I want to show you a picture. That what a beautiful photo, right? If you're into art, you might say, "Oh, I know exactly what that is." To me, it looks like one of our kids in WeVive drew a picture, right? How many agree with me? It's like, oh, yeah. Yeah, somebody, a little three-year-old drew up. This is actually called Woman 3. I don't get that, but Woman 3. And it's a piece of art by Willem de Kooning, okay? Dutch. He's kind of a Dutch-American guy, last name, Kooning. Guess how much this picture sold for in 2006? $137 million for this toddler photo or toddler artwork. I'm just kidding. I know for artists, they're like, wow, that's blasphemy. Listen, beauty, it's not just beauty that's in the eye of the beholder, but I think the value and the worth of things is in the eye of the beholder, because that's not even worth a buck. I'll pass that thing by. I'd be scared to hang it on my wall. It looks like it'll haunt your house. But anyway, but it's, somebody's got it in their house and they paid dearly for it. Sometimes I don't understand the value, the true value of things, of people, and even myself. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to focus on those things. We're going to focus in on the value of things, people, and ourselves. And one of the things that I get wrong a lot, or have gotten wrong, probably more in the past, getting better at it, is the value of money. Now, it's normal in our culture to see money in several ways as a sense of security. You know, make sure you have enough for retirement. It's normal for us in our culture to see money as even a source of hope. You know, if you have it, you're hopeful. If you're about to get it, you know, maybe you've been promised a raise, or there's a promotion coming up, and there's an opportunity for you to advance a little bit. There's a sense of hope that comes into our hearts, right? That's not bad. I'm not saying that's wrong, but there is a sense of hope that comes into our hearts, and we see money sometimes, as a source of that. We also can see it as a source of power. The more you have, the more powerful you are or feel, or you can leverage it, right? We can leverage it to get stuff, and so we see it as a source of leveraging, what we want, what we need. We also, it's easy for us to see it just as kind of our goal for a week of hard work, right? That's what it is. It's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow kind of a thing. It kind of makes the world go round, right? But what if money was way more than all that? What if money was really a test of our trust in God? And I know that some people get uncomfortable, when pastors start talking about money. This is so important. Okay, this is such an important message, just like last week, like the weeks before, focusing on what matters most. There's a reason why it's on the wall of our church. There's a reason why it's one of our core values at Vive Church. I believe we need to focus in 2020 on giving. Amen. I think our focus needs to be on giving, because when I learn to give, that's when I learn to live. When I learned to give, that's when I learned to live. There are really three types of people in the world. There are takers, there are givers, and there's a third type of person. There are holders. There are those who hold on to things. They may not want anything from you. I don't want anything from you, but I'm not giving you anything either. And so I think there's three types of people. And I believe when we learn to give, that's when we really learn to live. And if we can just let go of our fear of like, oh, Lord, he's about to talk about giving. He's, you know, hold on to your wallet. You know, let's just, you know, set ourselves at ease, because I believe if you'll embrace this truth, it'll transform you. Amen. I wasn't always a giver. I was a taker. I think every one of us, to some degree, comes into this world as takers. And God wants to change something in our hearts. In the very beginning, God established a principle that hasn't changed. It's not part of the law. It's a principle that you and I need to establish in our lives, because it will be for us a guardrail. It will be for us kind of a true north. It'll keep us focused on what matters most in life. See, God established in the very beginning the principle of first fruits. We see it in Genesis chapter 4. I think it was a result of the fall of man, how Adam and Eve fell into sin. But it was this principle of first fruits. Let me read a passage of scripture. I don't think it's on the wall, but let me read it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 4, verse 2 through 5. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. And the Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. We see in Genesis chapter 4, we don't see anything prior to that, any instruction like, you know, hey, you're supposed to do this, this, and this. It's not law. It's a principle that God established. And we see that Cain and Abel are responding. They're living their life, and they're responding, and they're bringing their first fruits. Well, at least Abel brought the first fruits. Cain did. In the course of time, he brought some of the fruit. And we see that this principle is so important, because I believe that the first part of our income belongs to the Lord. The first part of whatever God blesses us with belongs to the Lord. It establishes something super important in our lives. It establishes the fact that God's first. Later on in scripture, later on, and even in the book of Genesis, that idea of first fruits changes into what we call the tithe. And it's mentioned over and over again throughout the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the New Testament, along with other things in giving we'll talk about later. But the tithe is so important. It places God, it puts God as first in our life. It's a reminder to us that he owns it all, right? And the tithe has a practical purpose. It has the meaning and the purpose of tithe is to fund the ministry and the work of the local church. See, what we do as a church collectively is determined by our giving, by that first fruits, that 10%. And God has entrusted us to be good stewards of that. And so it is vital for ministry. Ministry, if we could do it without it as a church, if we could exist without it, it would be great. But the reality is the practical purpose of the tithe is to fund ministry in the local church. And if you believe in this local church, if you believe in Vive Church as your church, then that's what we do, right? And it's for us, it's not an option. It's a principle that God established. That when I get increase, when God blesses me and he entrusts me with more, I give him the first 10%. Because it's a reminder that he owns it all. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord. See, I think it's a test. I think money is a test of our trust, because we can get really fearful when it comes to money. We can get really fearful when we look at our finances and we look at what we have and what we need and what we want. And there's a real tendency for us to, if we're not careful, and we'll get into this a little deeper just a minute, but we have a tendency, listen, you know, having hope is not a problem with our finances. Having hope and finances together is not a problem. What the problem comes when our hope is in our finances. That's where the problem comes. And it's so easy for us as humans. I live in the same world that you do. It's so easy for us to allow our hope to migrate away from the Lord and into our stuff. The more stuff we get, the more. And when we lose stuff, we feel fearful. We get anxiety and we worry. And it's like, wait, who do you trust in? What are you trusting in? Now, I know this is probably deep for some of you, and you're like, man, this is a lot. But I'm just telling you, this is such an important message. Why do we need to focus on giving? See, our hope can migrate away from the Lord. He wants to be our hope, right? It's a test. He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. God wants to bless us. He's not afraid of us having money and stuff. He wants to bless you, but he wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. And the more we learn how to release, the more he can release into our lives. He doesn't want to put us in a situation that is going to cause us to lose our hope in him or to allow our hope to migrate away from him or our security. He wants our security to be in him. So is it okay to have stuff? Absolutely. It's not okay for our stuff to have us. Now I know this gets into the nitty gritty of what's going on inside of our hearts. And that is what Jesus focused on. Jesus always focused on what's going on in your heart. What's happening in your heart. Jesus talked about money and possessions more than any other subject. It's true. The Bible has more to say about money and possessions than it does about prayer. Prayer is important. Amen. Why is it such a common subject? Why is it talked about so much? Because God knows the power that money and stuff can have in our lives. He understands that. He knows what it can do to our hearts, right? See, when we were young, our parents would say, you better watch your behavior. My mom would say, you better watch what you're doing. Could you? And she would. My parents never said, Randy, you better watch your heart. Parents, let me suggest, you start asking your kids, what's in your heart? You better watch your heart. Because it's easy to have the right behavior with the wrong heart. Jesus ran into those people. Those people were called Pharisees and Sadducees. They were religious. They had it all together. Seemed like on the outside, but on the inside, they were dead. And so Jesus is trying to get to the heart of each and every one of us. He's trying to help us see that he wants to be our hope. He is our security. Because, listen, money and stuff can make promises to us that it cannot fulfill, right? So we've been taught to monitor our behaviors. That's the stuff that people see, right? But not our hearts. That's the stuff that God sees. Remember when God spoke to the prophet Samuel? He said, I'm not looking at what man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but I'm looking at the heart. When he was about to anoint David as king of Israel. And so God's looking at our heart. So what does money have to do with my heart? Well, there is this sinister disease that lurks in the heart of every human being, and it's called greed. Now, I know nobody would say, yep, I'm greedy. See, how I view money and things is going to determine the effects of my heart. It's going to determine how that stuff affects my heart. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and have pierced themselves with many sorrows. And in the words of the Prophet 38 special, hold on loosely, but don't let go. If you cling too tightly, you're going to lose control. All you old people know what I'm talking about. Kids are like, what's a 38 special? Is that a gun? No. See, greed isn't a financial issue. It's a heart issue. It's not, you know, oh, man, you've got lots of money, so you must be greedy. Or you don't have any money, you must be greedy. It's a heart issue. It's not a financial issue. It has nothing to do with what's your bottom line, how much is in your bank. It's something that's in your heart. And generosity isn't an emotion. We don't just feel generous. Generosity is an action. And we're going to look at it just a moment, but it's the solution. But Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, and we're going to go through a passage of scripture. He taught us about greed. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 through 21. He taught us that greed is the assumption that what I have is for my consumption. That what I have, it's the assumption that what I have is for my consumption. That's what greed is. Now, Jesus in Luke chapter 12, Jesus was preaching, and he had a great sermon. He was going at it. It was just a great message. And all of a sudden, some guy in the crowd hollers out, Jesus, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And I'm sure, like any person who's preaching, you know, they're in the mood, they're in the kind of in the groove, and they're going at it. And he's like, what? It had nothing to do with what Jesus was preaching. But apparently, this guy was having it out with his brother. There was an argument over money, over stuff, over inheritance. You ever had an argument over inheritance? Oh, Lord. Crazy things happen when people die. Make sure you have a will. But crazy things happen. And so this guy's like, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance. And then Jesus kind of stopped where he was headed with the sermon, and he said, Luke chapter 12, verse 15, he says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. You think, okay, he just set those guys straight and he's going to move on. No, Jesus always had a story to go along with, you know, he's like, all right, sermon number two, we're going to go this way. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And they're like, where's he going? Now, this guy could have been any middle-class American that Jesus is talking about. Maybe he just closed a big deal. Maybe he opened a new store. He got a new job, he got a promotion, a pay raise, something, but the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. The money was rolling in for this guy. And what's he going to do with the extra? Now remember, Jesus is making this story up. This wasn't a true story. He was just trying to make a point. And he's teaching us the right and the wrong way to respond when we find ourselves with more than what we need. And we all have more than what we need. Now, what we want, that's a whole different story. Verse 17, he goes on to say, he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Now, you got to put yourself in this guy's situation. Here he is. He has this yield. He has this increase. He gets a pay raise. You know, the check comes in the mail. Something happens. And it's maybe it's Saturday morning, and he's sitting around, and he's like, I have no place to be. I got money in the bank. I got gas in my tank. I'm, you know, where am I going to spend all this extra? What am I going to do with my day? Maybe he had the tax return check come in the mail that morning. He's like, hello. He says, what am I going to do with it? Maybe I'll buy a new computer because that Windows computer is junk. We'll get me a Mac. Maybe I'll give me some new furniture or maybe a new car or I don't know what, you know, man, the options. Let's get on Amazon and look, see what we can get, right? How many of you do that? Did you just confess my sin, Robin? Oh, I do. I get on Amazon. See, women window shop, guys at Amazon shop. I just like. And so Jesus went on. He's, you know, this guy's thinking, what do I do with all this extra? And Jesus went on in verse 18. He says, then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So Jesus is teaching us about saving or maybe even investing, right? Maybe saving that surplus, investing that surplus. Maybe that's what he's teaching. This is what you would expect from a wise teacher. See, the man in Jesus' story is very industrious. He tore down his barns and he built new ones. Good for him, right? He had a great year. He had a great increase. And so far, this is a great story. It's a really good feel-good story. Then it takes a real morbid turn. Verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God. Ouch. Ouch. Why did Jesus have to say that? This was kind of an unexpected twist in the story. All the guys are, you know, they're probably smiling. Hey, this is a great feel-good story. Yes, I'll invest. I'll do. And then it just takes a turn, right? They didn't expect it coming. We didn't expect it coming. Jesus wasn't teaching that you're going to die after you get a raise. He didn't teach that you're going to die if you put money in your savings account. He was exposing something that hides inside of our hearts. And if we can take a moment and we can look, we can understand the importance of what we're talking about this morning, the importance of focusing on giving. He was exposing something that was sinister, that was hard to reveal. It was easy to hide, and it lurks inside of our hearts. The real problem in this story wasn't the fact that the man was prosperous. Can I say that again? That wasn't the problem in this story. The fact that the guy had a great year, the fact that he had surplus, that wasn't the problem in this story. The problem was twofold. First, he never asked God what he should do with the increase. He never even thought to consult the Lord. What should I do with the increase? See, his assumption was that what he had and what he received was for his consumption. And there's a tendency for all of us in life to assume that what we have is all for us. See, this is what hides in our hearts. The second thing that was wrong, one was a lot. You know, the fact that he never even thought to consult and ask the Lord, hey, Lord, what should I do with this? You blessed me. What should I do? Should I put it up? Should I store it? What should I do with it? The second thing that was wrong is that his hope and his trust was in his wealth. Verse 19, we see it. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. See, his hope and his trust have migrated away from the Lord and into his stuff. And our stuff will make promises to us. It'll make promises that I'll always be there to make you happy. I'll always be there for you till the very end. But it can't deliver on the promises that it makes. It can't keep those promises. See, we have to be careful to guard our hearts because we can easily put our hope in our riches. We can easily allow our hope to migrate away from the Lord. Don't put your hope in riches. I wrote this. Don't put your hope in riches, but put your hope in him who richly blesses. Amen. Put your hope in him who richly blesses. So what should I do with the increase? What do I do when God blesses me? What do I do when God shows favor in my life and he does what he says in Malachi, that he opens the windows of heaven? What do I do? Here's the cure or the remedy for greed. Here is what God wants to do inside of our hearts, something that is not natural to us, but he creates it in us if we'll allow him, and that's generosity. Proverbs 22:9 says, he who has generous eyes will be blessed. He who has generous eyes will be blessed. God wants to develop in us the ability to see the need around us, to be a conduit that he can flow through. See, there's takers, there's givers, and there's holders. God wants to develop. We're his kids. We're his children. We are people of purpose. We are his hands, his feet, his heart to this world that desperately needs him. He wants us to be able to see with generous eyes, because I believe a generous eye gives us a view from God's perspective. Let me say it another way. Generosity enables me to see from God's perspective. Think about this. Generosity enables me to see from God's perspective. When I look at life and I look at people and when I look at this world through eyes of generosity, guess what? I'm able to see with God's eyes. I'm able to see clearly what God sees, because God's not a taker. He's not a holder. He's a giver. And when he looks with those eyes, and when we look with those eyes, we can see clearly what he sees. I want to see what God sees in this life. I don't want to be guilty of holding on to things. God has blessed us. He's blessed us as a country, as a nation, hasn't he? I know that we're all in different situations financially. Some have bigger homes than others, and some have nicer, newer cars than others. I get all that. And you know, some may have a newer PlayStation than an older PlayStation, but we are blessed. You know, man, I only have an iPhone 10, and they just came out with a new one. You know, this guy's got more. You know, we're blessed. I don't ever want to be guilty of holding on to something that, you know what, it was never intended for me to hold on to, because this life, we're just passing through, right? Let's not forget, we're just passing through here, and what can we do as we're passing through? We've got to learn to see life and see people, to see this world with the same eyes that God has, and that's generous eyes. Matthew 6:19 through 24, I want to read this passage of scripture, but I've read this passage of scripture so many times, and it never really made sense to me. It just seemed out of place what Jesus was talking about, but I think I understand it. In light of what I just said, I think I understand what this passage of scripture is saying. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness." I think what Jesus is talking about is what I just said. That God wants us to see life and to see people and to see our situations through generous eyes. And when we see with generous eyes, we have God's perspective on the situation. And with faith in our hearts, we can look at a situation and a need and we can say, you know what, I may not have the resources, but I know God does. And I'll believe with you, because there's those eyes of generosity. I think he's talking about having generous eyes and being. Why do I say that? Well, let's look at the rest of what Jesus said. Let's look at it in context, because when we read scripture and we study scripture, make sure you don't pull one verse out and just create a whole doctrine out of that one verse, okay? That's no bueno. You're going to get yourself into trouble. But let's look at the context of what Jesus says. In verse 19, let's look at the verses ahead. Before he said what he said in verse 22, he says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven." Verse 22, "where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. Will be also." So Jesus is talking about our stuff. He's talking about our money. And in that context, then he goes on to say, the lamp of the body is the eye. And if your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. We've got to learn to see life and look at life through God's perspective, through generous eyes. See, Jesus said, your heart is going to follow your treasure. Your heart follows your treasure. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Your eyes determine the value of your treasure. Verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon or money. We've got to see life through generous eyes. We've got to focus on being givers. And I believe when we do, it opens the windows of heaven. It opens God's blessing in our lives. We don't give to be blessed. That's the wrong motive. That's just greed in another form. We give because we want to be like Jesus. I think money is one, it's a tool for us to bless others because we're not going to take it with us, right? It's a tool to fund ministry, missions, church planting, helping people, rescuing people, saving people, whatever it takes. So it's a tool. Money's also a test. God says in Malachi, test me, put me to the test. Are you going to put God first? It's a test. It's a test of our trust, right? But it's also a trust. You and I have been entrusted with the stuff that we have. We have been entrusted with the resources that we have. And you might say, yeah, but I don't have as much as somebody else. It doesn't matter what other people have. It's not, it's you. You do you. Listen, God entrusts every one of us with something. What are we going to do with that? See, when I learn to give, I believe that's when I learn to live. It's amazing how when we're in need, we go right to God. God, I need this. I need a new job. I need resources. I can't pay for this. I can't pay. God, I need you. I need help. I need, right? We all do. It's just, this is what we do. But when we have extra, do we ever ask him, God, what should I do with this extra? I preached a message talking about this several years ago, and this whole idea, this concept, and ever since then, it's like the Holy Spirit just, what are you going to do with that? I'm like, what do you want me to do with that? Amen. I just got a little check in the mail for Robin being a safe driver, which they don't drive with her, but no, she is. I'm just playing. Just play. I didn't get one. I didn't get one. But wow. All right. So, but you know, I opened the check and I'm not lying to you. As soon as I opened it, I said, Lord, what should I do with it? Not because I'm super spiritual. It's stuck in my head. When's the last time we just said, hey God, you blessed me. I didn't expect that. What should I do with it? Because sure enough, when we're in need, we are right. God, please, what's up? I need help. See, the problem with that guy was not the fact that he was blessed. The problem was the fact that he never even thought about consulting the Lord. What should I do with this increase, God? What should I do with the extra that you've given me? I think we should make giving a habit. I think we should make giving something that's also hilarious. The Bible talks about God loves a cheerful giver. Amen. See, giving doesn't get us into heaven, but it does change our heart. It transforms our heart. I wasn't always a giver. I was a taker, and I learned how to give. And I established that discipline of giving, and I'm telling you, it really is more fun to give than it is to receive. What would happen if we all looked at this world and at life and the people in our lives with generous eyes? What would happen in your world? What would happen if you started looking at things and people with generous eyes? You might notice the needs of other people that you don't see. You might notice things happening around you that you don't typically notice. If we just took time and said, God, who can I bless in this present situation? Who can I bless right now? What can I do with the increase that you know, it might be $10. It might be $50. And maybe God will say, put that away because I've got a purpose for it. Can I just say real quickly, not every need needs your attention. You can interpret that however you want. But not every need needs your attention. But God, what should I do? What should I do? See, I think the day will come when you receive an unexpected windfall. And the words that come out of your heart, the words that come to your mind will be, Lord, what should I do with the extra? And I think in that moment, when that happens, that's when you can say, you know what? I think I've got generous eyes. I think God's doing something in my heart. That's what he wants to do. Why is it so important that we give? Why is it so important that we learn to give? Because that's where we learn to live. That's where we're able to see life and to see people, to see this world through the same perspective, the same eyes that God has. Would you stand with me? I think it's so important that we take practical steps when we hear God's word, when we encounter truth and the Holy Spirit begins to stir something in our hearts. I think it's important for us to not just walk away from that thing and to say, well, I'll do something about it later. I was thinking about this morning. And it hit me. I was brushing my teeth and, of course, in the bathroom. And I looked up and, you know, when I put window trim around a window inside our bathroom when we were building the house, and I never caulked around that window. And for a year and a half now, almost every time I brush my teeth, I see that and I say, I need to caulk that. I need to seal that window. It's never been sealed for a year and a half. It's so easy. See, what I need to do is put my brute toothbrush down and go get my caulking gun and put some caulking around, or at least put it on the, that's why I put stuff around the house. And Robin's like, what in the world is this? I think it's important for us to take a step to be practical and to embrace and apply the truth of Scripture. And I don't know what the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart, but let me encourage you to do something about it. Don't just look at it and say, yeah, I need to do something. Because we'll have this conversation in another year and a half from now. Let's put it into practice. Amen. So this morning, as we respond to the Lord, we're going to receive the tithes and the offerings. We talk a lot about tithes and offerings, and I have a kids pastor who's a friend, and the way he teaches kids to give, he does it in a joking way, but he has a tie on, and he says, okay, we're going to give our tithes and offerings. It's not a tie that you wear on. It's tithe. It's 10%, and we're also going to give above and beyond. We're going to bless those who are in need. Next week, we're going to talk about reaching, why this is so important, and we're going to have an opportunity to give above and beyond. Real quick, here's the thing that Scripture talks about the tithe that I always thought was really interesting. I never quite understood it, but it says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. It doesn't say give the tithe, because it says bring it because it belongs to the Lord. Scripture says it belongs to Him. We don't give what belongs to the Lord. We bring it. right? We bring it. And as we honor the Lord, I believe he changes our hearts. He does something powerful in us. So this morning, can we take a practical step and say, Lord, help us to have generous eyes. Help us to see life from your perspective. Help us to be givers, not takers or holders, but givers. Can we do that? As I pray, our service greeters are going to receive the tithes and offerings. And let's worship the Lord with our giving this morning. Can we do that? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. I know sometimes it's hard. Some of the things that you say, Jesus, the story that you shared in Luke chapter 12, God, it reveals something that's in our heart that sometimes can hide deep inside of our hearts. You want to create in us hearts of generosity, eyes of generosity, the ability to see the need around us. And Lord, you promised that you would resource us, that we would be that conduit. We would be the one that you could flow through. God, help us as we take that step, as we engage this in our lives, in Jesus' name.
Thanks again for joining us today. We're hoping that this message brought you to life. If you have any prayer requests or if you'd like to connect with our church family, you can email us at info@vibechurch.com or you can fill out the contact card section in our app. We're looking forward to hearing about all the ways that God is moving in your life. And until next time, go bring somebody to life.